Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. You'll recognize this story right away. Mark chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 31. I would entitle this The Ruined Vacation. You'll see what I mean. Have you ever had a vacation ruined? Your pastor probably, when he gets ready to go on vacation, I suppose he'd say, okay, nobody get sick, nobody go to the hospital, and please, nobody die. Have you ever had a vacation interrupted like that or not yet? Yeah. Well, Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out of the ship, saw much people and was greatly aggravated. Wait a minute. You got to watch me. I've got a problem of putting things in the Bible that aren't there. He was moved with compassion. Amen. You say, I want to be like Jesus. Well, you're going to have compassion for people, for lost people. And he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them, that's the disciples, to make all to sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks, or in rows, I would say that's what it means, by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 500 men. I believe this miracle is important. Of course, it happened. And it's a recording of what actually took place that day. But even more, I believe this is there in all 4 Gospels to give us a pattern for missions, and to give us a glimpse of what God wants to do in the world. And if this interruption to the vacation bothered Jesus, I can't see it. Can you? I don't see any complaining. And the Lord Jesus is a servant. Servants don't choose their hours. They don't choose what they do. They just are servants. And missions can be an interruption to our lives. A lot of Christians don't get involved with missions. They don't know, maybe don't know about missions. They don't know missionaries to pray for. I know denominations, Baptists, that they send out missionaries, but the missionaries never go to the churches. I like the way we do it with the deputation. I know it can be difficult, and it's probably longer than it should be, But the missionary gets to meet people like you. And you get to meet missionaries. Aren't these missionaries a blessing? And I just love to be around missionaries. They probably get tired of all my questions, but I want to learn about them, about their fields. And so giving financially, it can be an interruption to our finances. It could be an interruption to our time praying for them and communicating. So in John chapter 6 and verse 51, Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." 1 John 2:2 says that Jesus died for not only our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. God is interested in the whole world. You know, I need to ask you some questions. How many people did Jesus want to feed? All of them. Okay, that was easy enough. How many people did he want to go away hungry? None. Okay, so far so good. How many people today does God want to die without the bread of life? He said to preach the gospel to every creature, and I believe that God can and wants to save every sinner. I believe that. Now, here's an important question, and we need to answer it to make sense out of this message, maybe out of the scriptures. Did Jesus only expect to feed the first row or the second, third row? No, he wanted them all to have their fill, and they did. But I want you to think about this. How many people did Jesus give bread and fish to? The Bible tells it. Now, each one of the Gospels except Luke mentions the 5,000. Matthew says there were 5,000 plus women and children. But we need to know the exact number. I'll give you a hint. We read it, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. All 4 Gospels say that. He blessed it, and he gave it to whom? The disciples. How many disciples were there? 12, right? So you say, "Brother Rex, why is that so important?" Well, I believe there's a principle here that God wants to get the bread of life to the hungry multitudes of the people, but he's going to put that bread, so to speak, in our hands. The finances to send those missionaries, Paul said, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" So the finances and the personnel to take the message, he could, I suppose the Lord could have just spoke from heaven. He knows every language that's spoken on earth. He knows the culture of all the people. He knows the message, amen? He has no limitations. He doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't have conflicts with other people and gets discouraged and quits. That happens sometimes. But that's not what he chose. He chose to use you and me. And so understanding that, I think each one of us needs to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my part? What should I give? Where should I go?" And so just keep in mind that this thing of missions, and we've said it more than once, and I know you already believed it, but it's for the church. It's not just for the missionaries. It's for everybody. If everybody would get their heart into missions as much as we expect our missionaries to have their heart in missions, I think we would do more for the cause of world evangelism. So I want you to see about three things, especially tonight. And the first thing is the great involvement. There was great involvement. The 12 disciples got involved. As far as I know, none of them said, well, we're on vacation. We don't want to be bothered. They first saw the need. They said, these people are going to be hungry and they need food. So they said, send them away. That's what they said about the children. When the children came to be blessed by the Lord, they said, send these kids away. Get these kids out of here. Jesus didn't like that, did he? First of all, we don't tell the Lord what to do, and we certainly don't tell him to send people away. But the thing is, they all got involved, and that's what it's going to take, and more involvement, and everybody doing their part. There was that great involvement. We also see a careful organization. It says in Mark 39 and 40, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Remember, the goal is that all be served the bread and the fish. They were all hungry. They all wanted food. And the first row, or the first and second row, were not any more important than the last row. You know, that's, if we didn't know better, we might think that God loves us Americans or us English speakers more than anyone else. I don't think he does. But we certainly have his blessings. We have his word. I don't want to get off track here tonight, but you have, I believe, in your lap right now, the greatest book that was ever written. I'm not just talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the King James Bible. Amen. It has gone all the way to the moon. It has changed countries. It has done so much. And the thing is over 400 years old. I can understand my Bible. There's a word or two I don't understand, but I don't read anything that I don't find a word or two that I don't understand. But thank God for what we have. Amen. And that was all free. But we're not more important than they are. But we may think we are. But a project this big needs organization. The need to get to all the people required organization. And Jesus commanded them to be put into groups of 50s and 100s and in rows or ranks where the disciples could move in and out among them and reach everybody, where they weren't just getting the ones in the front. And so it takes that organization. So Jesus has divided people up, I believe. First of all, he said every creature. So every creature is supposed to receive the gospel. And we know that he wants everyone to be saved. We know that Jesus died for everyone. And we know that God commands everyone to repent and be saved. And so we need a strategy to accomplish this. I appreciate our brothers here that and their ministries, they have a strategy. They know what they're doing. They have a plan, a certain thing, and they're quite different really, but that's what we need. Not missionaries just to, well, I'm just going to go and see what the Lord does, but to go with a plan. Now, God may change that plan, but we need to be organized. And first of all, Jesus said to every creature, but then he said to all nations, people groups. So there's a lot of them. They tell me over 16,500 different groups, but they, let's say a church can reach one group, and another church could maybe reach another group, but we've got enough churches to do that. We probably don't have enough missionaries, but the Lord's got to do that too, amen. But there's also languages. If we can just get the Word of God in all of these languages and a good, faithful translation of God's Word that the people can understand and accept, and that's a good place to start. If we can just get missionaries to go to these different groups, they're organized somewhat. We could check them off the list, so to speak. So, you know, but people, the missionaries need to target certain groups. I like to use the example of Mozambique. Anybody know where Mozambique is? Well, it's in Africa, Eastern Africa, right? And what is the language there? Anybody know? Portuguese. That's the official language. But only 7 or 8% of the people speak that as their first language. And only 30% speak it at all to varying degrees. So if that's true, there's 70% of the people that aren't going to be reached with Portuguese. So I think what the missionary needs to do now, there's, I think, 42 other major languages in the country. I say the missionary needs to go there and learn Portuguese, because he has to deal with people in the city, with the government. So the trade language is important, but he needs to go beyond that to reach, and not just say, well, I'm just going to try to reach everybody, but to choose where the need or where the priority seems to be, and then learn that language and reach those people and do a work there. And that's what we find in many places in the world, these people groups, these subcultures. And so we need missionaries to take on this challenge. And that's where I think BBTI can help, because the first language is difficult. Anybody learned a new language as an adult? Some of you. Are you able to speak it and preach in it and all that? You ladies, I guess you're not supposed to preach, but. Well, it's difficult. But imagine learning that other language where there's no teachers or books or schools and that's where we're failing, I think, to reach those people. We need organization. We need a strategy. And also, I see great faithfulness. We don't really know how many people were there. We know there were at least 5,000, but there were women and children. I'm going to just pick a number and say there were 8,000 people there. That's not too unreasonable, is it? And so there were two items to be served, bread and fish. So let's say that 6 disciples were serving the fish and the other 6 were serving the bread. And if my math is correct, each disciple was responsible for 1,333 people. That's a lot of people to feed. So at this rate, there would have been 160 groups of 50. And each disciple then would have to reach over 26 groups. Here's these groups of 50. Now, I know there were 50s and 100s together, but they're still the same amount of people. That's a lot of work. And I think that each disciple would have to make 26 times back and forth. Is that the number? Let's see. Maybe you can figure it out. I believe that was 26 trips back and forth to feed these people. If the basket, we don't know how big the basket was, but let's say it could feed 50 people. At that rate, they had to make a lot of trips back and forth. So what am I getting at? It takes faithfulness. And they didn't get weary in well-doing. And you will notice that the people did not come to Jesus for the bread. They waited for someone to bring it to them. And that's the way it is for the most part. Now, I know right now our leadership of our country believes in missions, so they're bringing a lot of people. They've opened up our border, said, y'all come in. And I don't agree with that. I don't know what you think about it, and I don't mean to get into politics, but we better be trying to reach those people.
Right.
God is allowing this, and those people may be more open here than they were back home.
Right.
There may be less fanaticism. Does anybody know Tim Stalkup? You all know Tim? Well, he is burdened especially for Afghan people, but Muslims, but also Afghan people. And he, I believe, knows or can find out where the Afghan refugees are in the country. There may be some in Charlotte. But what an opportunity would be to reach people like this. Even if you could, let's say you could just give them a little bag of goodies and toothpaste or whatever they need, and maybe a Bible in their language. Of course, they have various languages in Afghanistan. Give them something, and maybe, they probably don't know English, but you could try, give them a New Testament in English. Another, just something to say, welcome. We're concerned about you. You'd be surprised what that might do. Maybe someone would go to New York City and help Tim. Tim is a BBTI graduate, and he's a character. We love him. For the most part, the mission field is not coming to us. We've got to go to them. So the disciples were faithful. They stayed with it until it was done. And the Bible says that all the people ate and were filled. And that means that those men did not get weary in well-doing. That's what the Lord tells us, to not be weary in well-doing. They all did their part. And they didn't get tired and quit. As far as I know, they didn't have any arguments among themselves. They worked together, and they all saw their part as important and necessary, and they did it. No complaint. Even Judas Iscariot must have been involved. And so, the hour was late when they started. I don't know what time it was, but we're talking about feeding a lot of people in a short amount of time, and yet they were able to finish before nighttime. I'm sure this is a worn-out cliche that missionaries have used for 200 years, but the night is coming when no man can work. So none of the disciples complained and saying, I can't give bread and fish, I'm too poor. They were getting it from Jesus. You cannot say, I can't give to missions. I believe God will allow you to and provide so that you can. You say, I don't know where it'll come from. Well, that's what we call faith. You trust Him and be faithful. So the disciples didn't brag about what they had done. What do we have to brag about? We're just doing what the Lord has put before us, laid on our heart. And they were all blessed because they had a part in a great miracle. and we are as well. You know, when a person is saved, that's a miracle. When you can take the gospel to a person that, I mean, it doesn't seem such a miracle in America where people are somewhat Christian, but you go to places where they're completely heathen, completely another religion, and when they get saved, and don't ever think that Hindus and Muslims cannot be saved. God is saving a lot of people around the world. We may not hear about it or know about it, but thank God. But it's a miracle, and we have a part in that. Amen. By our prayers, by our giving, by our going. And so Jesus said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you know this, but they took up how many baskets full of fragments that were left over? 12. How many disciples were there? 12. I don't know if they all got the bread and fish, but I know they were taken care of. Missions will not hurt you. Missions will not hurt your church. You know that. I've known of churches that their attitude is, well, we don't want to give to missions because we really can't afford it, and it would take away from us. They don't understand at all. I think you do. I trust you do. Well, so everyone saw the power of Jesus and they glorified him. John chapter 6, were the account of the feeding of the 5,000, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet. What prophet? The one Moses had told about, the Messiah that should come into the world. They were introduced and understood that Jesus is the one they were waiting for. And nobody complained about an interrupted vacation. Amen. God bless you and thank you, Pastor.